Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back.
You either go to church or you go.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Tuesday, September 6, 2022. And as I said in the first hour, you know, we could touch on the yesterday's observance of the socialist so-called Labor Day. I think, you know, for me, it's a short trip back to the House Un-American Activities Committee. The McCarthyism stuff, you know, the Red Scare 1, Red Scare 2, Red Scare 57, Reese Committee stuff, obviously, Pujo Committee. You know, we could talk about the 8-hour workday and the Soviet decree on the hours of labor, for example. It's not Marxist, the 8-hour workday and Labor Day. It's not Marxist and communist, really? Then why on October, whatever it was, back in 1917, why was there a decree on the hours of labor in the Soviet Union? Why did that happen? Including, let's see, you know, on the day before Christmas, December 24, work stops at noon, and on the Holy Trinity Day, work stops at noon. After not more than 6 hours of work, there should be a recess of not less than an hour for food and rest, et cetera, et cetera. Total amount of time spent in recesses should not exceed 2 hours a day, et cetera. Anyway, you know, we could dive down that rabbit hole. From Wikipedia, 8-hour workday. In the early 19th century, Robert Owen raised the demand for a 10-hour day in 1810 and instituted it in his socialist enterprise at Newark, at New Lanark. By 1817, he had formulated the goal of the 8-hour workday and coined the slogan, 8 hours labor, 8 hours recreation, 8 hours rest. Women and children in England were granted a 10-hour day in 1847. French workers won the 12-hour day after the February Revolution of 1848. So you find, you know, I guess I would just summarize by saying you find the revolutionary, you know, the sort of the world revolutionary movement, the WRM, germ in all of this. Labor Day, workers of the world unite, 8-hour day, all of that kind of stuff. It's funny how that all sort of is inextricably linked and bundled together. Back to this collection of data corresponding to social conditioning. You know, very Soviet Stalinist social conditioning. You know, in fact, I mean, this today is probably going to bleed into tomorrow. It's a lot of stuff. Probably just today and tomorrow. Maybe we should do this. Maybe we should start with Ronald Reagan. Ronnie Reagan. Red Ronnie, as some of you like to say. You know, he was misguided for sure in some things. I think he, yeah. I wanna think the best, hope the best. He sure had a way of captivating audiences. But he was definitely an establishment type and didn't mind being one. I think he did have a patriotic tendency at heart, but he had competing interests and conflicting influences, to put it mildly. So Ronald Reagan on Johnny Carson, Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, 1975. A couple of clips from that, maybe, if we can. Let's see, is that right? I think so. So this is a good place to start. This coercive influence. Ronald Reagan on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, 1975. First clip, law versus regulations. Go ahead, please.
Those things that you were... The Office of Management and Budget in Washington, that's responsible for the budget, putting the budget together, cannot even tell you how many boards, commissions, agencies, bureaus, and departments there are in the federal government. Yeah. But all of them can pass regulations, and those regulations have the force of law. And the difference is, when you break the law, you're innocent until proven guilty. When you break a regulation, the fellow that charges you with breaking the regulation, you're guilty.
Right.
And if you want to take him to court and prove you're innocent, that's up to you. Right. And all of these are things that...
There you go. That sounds like a feudalist system. It sounds like what the Fabian socialists advocated, for example, law versus regulations, the administrative fourth branch, right? The one of the best primers on that being R.J. Pristrito's The Birth of the Administrative State, where it came from and what it means for limited government. It means that we combine these things in... You know, it becomes this giant amalgamation with essentially one branch. It all sort of gets fused and sucked down the administrative regulatory hole. So here's the second clip, actually backing up a little bit to the beginning, a few minutes back from that. Speaking of the administrative state, the administrative fourth branch, here's this. Go ahead, please.
Our biggest problem is that we have built a permanent structure of government, federal, state, and local. The permanent employees, and they've come to the place that they actually determine policy in this country more than does the Congress of the United States. Mm-hmm. There are 14.5 million public employees in the United States. That's quite a voting block. And the bureaus and agencies, not in Washington, I heard you talking earlier about some of the research programs. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a senator the other day, and he took up some pages of the congressional record. He was doing the same thing you were, listing all these crazy research programs.
I think that's how much they were costing. Yeah. Quite a voting block, like you said. Quite a voting block. Quite a voting block indeed. Think about that. And it's more now. But, you know, he says, what is it, 14 million? 14.5 million public employees. That's quite a voting block. Quite a voting block indeed. And by the way, speaking of blocks, that sounds like a Soviet block to me, because, well, again, the translation of Soviet is council or committee, and that's what you have. You know, again, if you want to get into the discussion of the administrative fourth branch and the fusing of all things, obviously, R.J. Pristrito's Birth of the Administrative State, where it came from and what it means for limited government is essential reading. There's also Gary Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State, from which Pristrito cites, quotes, you know, quite a bit. And if you remember, I've mentioned this many times, but Gary Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State, published in the Harvard Law Review, you know, the conspiracy blog, Harvard Law Review, Volume 107, Number 6, April 1994. He opened Lawson opened with these words, the post-New Deal. What does that go back, about 100 years? The post-New Deal administrative state is unconstitutional. That's pretty straightforward. And its validation by the legal system amounts to nothing less than a bloodless constitutional revolution. That is the opening sentence of the Rise and Rise of the Administrative State. That's the same conclusion that the Rees Committee came to. That's the same conclusion that many have come to. Lawson continues, the original New Dealers were aware, at least to some degree, that their vision of the national government's proper role and structure could not be squared with the written Constitution, which is why they've tried to subsume it in with this fourth branch, this quasi-executive, quasi-legislative, quasi-judicial. It's quasi-everything. It's just quasi. It's an apparition. Through the looking glass, down the rabbit hole, everything gets turned upside down. The way Pistrito put it in his 2007 piece, for those who hold the Constitution of the United States in high regard, who could quote from it these days? Who could, you know, who's even remotely familiar with it? For those who hold the Constitution of the United States in high regard and who are concerned about the fate of its principles in our contemporary practice of government, the modern state ought to receive significant attention. The reason for this is that the ideas that gave rise to what is today called the administrative state are fundamentally at odds with those that gave rise to our Constitution. And in other words, you might say the two are mutually exclusive and collectively exhaustive, perhaps. Continuing, Lawson writes, in fact, the original progressive era architects, remember in 2007, the CNN YouTube debates when Hillary Clinton said, you know, I'm a progressive, like the early American progressives. In fact, the original progressive era architects of the administrative state understood this quite clearly as they made advocacy of this new approach to government an important part of their direct, open, comprehensive attack on the American Constitution. So that's Hillary Clinton. She's an advocate of the direct, open, comprehensive attack on the American Constitution. How anyone could ever vote for a person like that is beyond my comprehension. Well, you know, the world changes and, right. So let me get this straight. Just because of some fancy modern technology, you think that mankind has changed and that these people who wrote these documents and spent years, decades actually, kind of working out the details, say from 1765 to 1789, something like that, somewhere around, you know. And these people that were intimately acquainted with all of recorded history that wrestled through these issues, somehow now, even though we couldn't articulate the slightest inkling of what discussions they had, even though we have much of that documentation available more easily and readily than ever before in history via the internet, obviously, and digital means, it's easily proliferated. It's widely available, as widely as we want it. The reason that stuff is out on the internet and Google isn't trying to censor that is because we don't care. Who cares, right? It's boring. It's long. You know, again, I refer to Neil Postman, who talked about how technology giveth, but it also taketh. And we should pay more attention to the taketh. And he said, you know, for example, we have how technology changes things. You know, we have these things we call debates. Speaking of the 2007 CNN YouTube debates, we call this a debate. But like he said, you know, you have 30 seconds to respond. That's a marked departure from what used to be the benchmark for political debate, which was the Lincoln-Douglas debates of like 8 hours. Who could endure that? We'd all need nap time and snack time. We'd need intermissions, let alone how many people would be hanging on every word. I want to know what this guy has to say and what he's all about. How can you possibly flesh out a political platform in each plank if you have 30 seconds to respond? It's ridiculous. So here we are. That's a little bit on the administrative state. But back to this other stuff. That's skipping ahead a little bit. I mentioned cookies. Cookies and metadata. Cookies are metadata. Likes are metadata. But let's talk about cookies. So last week I couldn't recall the regulatory hijinks that has every website everywhere now saying, you know, you have to, there are certain cookies you have to accept. And that, of course, was GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation. And so you can go to gdpr.eu/cookies to learn more about this if you're not familiar. But from that page, cookies are an important tool that can give businesses a great idea, a great deal of insight into their users' online activity. And, you know, again, speaking of terminology and defining terms, is user usually something that we think of as a good thing, or is it generally considered a pejorative? Users. Who are users? Like drug users? So that's interesting. Great deal of insight into their users' online activity. Cookies are small text files that websites place on your device as you are browsing. They are processed and stored by your web browser. In and of themselves, cookies are harmless and serve crucial functions for websites. Cookies can also generally be easily viewed and deleted. So I ask, parenthetically, can you easily delete cookies on your desktop, for instance, on your mobile device? Yeah, easily is a relative term, I think. What about when what about when we go from mobile to wearables to implantables, as Scott Klosowski said back in 2016, his digital transformation of humanity, Owen Gaming speech. Anyway, you know, at the Global Gaming Expo, as in, not video gaming, but Las Vegas Gaming Convention. Digital transformation of humanity and gaming. Continuing, however, cookies can store a wealth of data, enough to potentially identify you without your consent. Cookies are the primary tool that advertisers use to track you, your online activity, so that they can target you with highly specific ads. Given the amount of data that cookies can contain, they can be considered personal data in certain circumstances and therefore subject to GDPR. And so now everyone has this disclaimer, you know, we have certain cookies. Why? Because through sleight of hand, essentially GDPR created the necessity indirectly for everyone now to have certain cookies and disclose certain cookies, which I think is, you know, it has made the cookie discussion more prevalent and also increased the volume of cookies that are installed on devices, but also simultaneously, I think it serves to anesthetize people from the reality of this. So you put all of these things together, permissions, cookies, data that is transmitted, metadata in particular, and again, back to the article, The Data That Turned the World Upside Down. From that article, just a few excerpts. And again, this focuses on Michael Kaczynski's work. And we all remember hearing about Cambridge Analytica and, you know, influencing the election, 2016 in particular, you know, vote suppression, which was a reversal of the Obama campaign's vote harvesting. You know, that's the rub. You know, Democrats go to the graveyard to register voters and Republicans are scrubbing voter rolls. It's kind of how that works. Stick around. We'll be right back after the short break.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. Me.
right, that's enough of that. Welcome back. It's Esoterically Perfect. Yeah. Very, very strange things going on these days. As a bit of, we talked about Biden's speech, his primetime speech on the battle for the continued battle for the soul of the nation last Thursday. Remember that? There was a setup the day before, for example. Corinne Jean-Pierre was asked, you know, what can we expect? And she said, I don't want to get out in front of the president. But anyway, if you didn't catch it, I mean, it was pretty crazy stuff. And a lot of people have expressed concern over it, shall we say. So here's a little bit of that speech. Go ahead, please.
Du, meine Arbeit für Richtigkeit. Ob du glaubst, dass ich fleißig gewesen bin, dass ich gearbeitet habe, dass ich mich in diesen Jahren für dich eingesetzt habe.
Okay. I'm being facetious, obviously. That's not Joe Biden's speech last Thursday, September 1. That was Adolf Hitler at the Krupp factory in 1935. But, you know, even though Sleepy Creepy Joe didn't have that much fervor, there probably wasn't, you know, that much moisture under the arms, it was very disturbing. The imagery, you know, many people have commented this. Why did the background, you know, it's at Independence Hall, of all places. It's a very divisive speech. How many times did he say MAGA, MAGA Republicans? And if you say MAGA Republicans and you don't articulate well, or you don't enunciate, excuse me, well, then it comes across, if you have, you know, a lazy old Sleepy Creepy palette, it comes across as maggot Republicans, maggot Republicans. So it's it was a disturbing speech, to say the least. The background, you know, the Marines, I mean, it, Godwin's law notwithstanding, you get a very authoritarian impression, and I don't think that was by accident. Big red background, weird. Extremely weird. So, you know, what does that have to do with this other stuff that I'm talking about? These cookies and, you know, combining of databases and all of that. Chris, what's the point? What are you doing here? Well, speaking of the data that turned the world upside down. I need to read that a little bit, but I mean, just skipping ahead. Listening to the speech that Joe Biden gave and listening to the remarks of his press secretary leading up to that and then after, and that whole, you know, if you're not with us, you're with the terrorists thing. I think I've heard this before. There is something sinister seems to be escalating. And so what are the concerns? We'll talk about that when we come back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem. pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product, I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Welcome back. All right, let's get to the deal here. So, from the article, "The Data That Turned the World Upside Down," and you know, what does this have to do with anything? Oops. Remarkably, so this is, you know, Michael Kaczynski's work. Remarkably, and the Cambridge Analytica election influencing, and you have to think, you know, what are the broader implications of this? Remarkably reliable deductions could be drawn from simple online actions, metadata. While each piece of such information is too weak to produce a reliable prediction, when tens, hundreds, or thousands of individual data points are combined, the resulting predictions became really accurate. Kaczynski and his team tirelessly refined their models. In 2012, Kaczynski proved that on the basis of an average of 68 Facebook likes by a user, it was possible to predict their skin color with 95% accuracy, their sexual orientation with 88% accuracy, and their affiliation to the Democratic or Republican Party, 85%. So that's 68 likes. And there you have the the groundwork for, you know, voter influence campaigns, you know, whether harvesting or suppression. But it didn't stop there. Intelligence, religious affiliation, as well as alcohol, cigarette, and drug use could all be determined. From the data, it was even possible to deduce whether someone's parents were divorced. The strength of their modeling was illustrated by how well it could predict a subject's answers. Kaczynski continued to work on the models incessantly. Before long, he was able to evaluate a person better than the average work colleague, merely on the basis of 10 Facebook likes. 70 likes were enough to outdo what a person's friends knew, 150 what their parents knew, and 300 likes what their partner knew. More likes could even surpass what a person thought they knew about themselves. So, you know, what are the implications? I mean, put together Biden's speech last Thursday, primetime speech on the continued battle for the soul of the nation, and as John in Tennessee has speculated, I think the battle for the soul of the nation actually has a much more darker, more sinister connotation, esoteric connotation than most of us realize. I think, as I have said, I think that first and foremost, the issues that we face are the result of a spiritual battle. So obviously, you know, Toynbee's study of history and the manipulation of language notwithstanding, the soul of the nation has a particularly, I would say, spiritual connotation to it. So, what's the point? Well, in simple terms, again, you know, Corinne Jean-Pierre said, when you're not with the majority of Americans, then, you know, you have an extremist perspective. And that's ironic because the president's approval rating is in the 30s. So, as one friend observed, remember when the Communist Party in Russia called themselves the majority Bolshevik, when in reality they were the part of the minority, the Menshevik. So, if you are willing and capable of those kinds of mental leaps, I would say you're a dangerous person. Reality is sort of inconsequential to you. You have an agenda, you're on a mission, and you're going to do what you're going to do. And this gets back to, again, this, you know, maybe what we could say has been referred to as Trump derangement syndrome. I don't think that folks who support Donald Trump are, not that everyone does, but whoever supports Donald Trump and suffers clinically, maybe we could say, from Trump derangement syndrome, I don't think the supporters are the only people. Again, this is a very polarizing figure. Even Joe Biden, as bad as he is, I don't think is such a lightning rod with people and has the polarizing effect that Donald Trump has. And again, the fact that with Donald Trump, it seems, you know, you look at what, again, Jimmy Dore's crucifying, his roasting of Sam Harris recently. When Sam Harris basically said it, you know, by all means necessary, we need to keep Donald Trump out of power, whatever that means, whatever it takes. Legal, illegal, lawful, unlawful, moral, ethical, it doesn't matter. So supporters and detractors alike say we must at all costs and by any and all means necessary either keep him in or from power, respectively. Isn't that astonishing? Where could this possibly lead? And you look at what's going on just kind of all around us. You know, put the speech that Joe Biden gave together with the data collection stuff that I mentioned earlier, the bits of information that are out, and the way that there's this creeping encroachment to eavesdrop on and surveil all of us. When has that ever gone in a positive direction? And against my will. I don't want this. Oh, no, you want it. Listen, I don't want Jedi mind tricks. I don't want it. Plain and simple. Oh, no, you want it. These are not the droids you're looking for. So what could possibly happen? Well, we've seen in the post-9/11 era, for instance, there have been little hints and things thrown out from agencies in different quarters that, you know, certain folks are deemed undesirables. I don't want to skip ahead too far, but this all starts to lean into, you know, the hysteria with Donald Trump, for example. Whether, you know, you love him or hate him. Sam Harris gets destroyed over pro-censorship stance was the video. We actually, maybe we could play a clip from that. I think maybe we should do that. Let me throw that in. I don't know. I feel like I'm skipping ahead, but I think this is safe. I'm pretty sure this is safe. I believe that I think I can do this. Is that right? Okay, so this is Jimmy Dore talking about Sam Harris. This is just part of it. There were a lot of good points that Jimmy Dore made. This is part of it. A couple minutes. Go ahead, please.
Nothing I said on that podcast was meant to suggest that the Democrats would have been right to commit election fraud or take other illegal measures to deny Trump the presidency, nor do I think they did that. Well, then why did you say that?
He said it.
You said it was a left-wing conspiracy, and it was fine if they censored that stuff, even if it was accurate, because you don't care. Trump's a bigger problem. You think Trump's a bigger criminal than Joe Biden? That's your first fatally flawed thought. Joe Biden, much bigger criminal than Donald Trump. He's a much bigger war criminal. What you said was quite clear. They're responding to Sam Harris. If the ruling class deems a politician unacceptable, it's within their right to censor news outlets, spread fake stories, and bury real ones in order to swing the election to their preferred candidate, which is about as undemocratic as it gets. That's what he is saying. He's saying that if the ruling class deems a politician unacceptable, like they did Donald Trump, then it's okay if they can censor news outlets, they can spread fake stories, which was Russiagate was, and they can bury real ones like the Hunter Biden laptop. That's what Sam Harris believes, because he said it. The hosts were also incredulous and gave him several opportunities for an out, and he just kept digging. He was always like this. He totally ignores U.S. imperialism and its harm to society and blames religion for all the woes of the world. This guy's despicable. He's okay with the Iraq war. That he still thinks all the wars are started because of religion. The wars are not started because of religion. The wars are started because capitalists want to go steal natural resources from somebody else's country. And he's too dumb to know that. Sam Harris, the dumbest smart guy on the internet.
There you go. He keeps repeating that sentiment over and over. Anyway, it's unfortunate. But, you know, and so if you're not familiar, yeah, wars are not started because of religion. Religion is used as a proxy for exactly what he said. You know, there are these international industrialist folks who know that, again, you know, he listened to George Friedman, Brain Bar Budapest talk in, what was it, 2017, when we played that clip again last week, play it regularly. And, you know, George Friedman is saying, hey, every century there's war, there's always wars, you know, is there a global war coming? Global war is sitting with you now, it's all around you. I introduced to you the iPhone, and then he goes through the technology piece by piece by piece. This is all created by the military-industrial complex. So if you are an investor and you want a sure bet, what do you think? So full circle, basically, back to my initial what I said about, you know, having YouTube delete – YouTube removed your content. What content? My playlist – titled Political Zionism versus Political Islam. There's no description or anything. It just says Political Zionism versus Political Islam, and they've deemed that hate speech. Why? It's not hate speech. It exposes the reality of what Jimmy Dore is talking about. So what's the broader concern here? Like he said, you know, there is the ruling class that deems a politician unacceptable. And what comes in tow with that? You've heard Corinne Jean-Pierre and Joe Biden talk about that just in the last week. You know, I mentioned recently how, was that last week or this week? I forget. She said, she used the term, oh gosh. Yeah. Oops. Let me see. No. No. I think this is what I'm looking for. Yeah. So she used the term in her September 1 speech before Joe Biden's crazy. So, you know, during her 62-minute press briefing, she used the word extreme 26 times. MAGA 16 times, including, as I mentioned last week, the superlative ultra MAGA, which they've been using for some time now, majority 11 times. And again, you know, she said, when you are not, I mean, we played the clip, when you're not with where the majority of Americans are, that is extreme. That is an extreme way of thinking. Okay, well, according to Reuters, Joe Biden's approval rating is 38%. So who's the majority? This is, if that's not Trump derangement syndrome, I don't know what is. You are not in touch with reality. That is literally that's the clinical definition of psychosis. You're having trouble distinguishing reality from what it is and what you want to make it, which it is not. So there's a problem. Houston, we have a problem. What happens when you have people like this in power? What if they really believe these things? I think there are some people who know kind of what's actually going on. And I think there are a high number of folks who are sort of along for the ride, if you know what I mean. They are swept up in one side or the other of this thing generally referred to as Trump derangement syndrome. And maybe they don't realize it. Remember what Huckabee said back in 2007, that foreign policy speech? CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, speech at the CSIS, Center for Strategic and International Studies. He said, to create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. Before the Russian Revolution, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. It took a small number of intellectuals to provide the theory and then rally oppressed peasants behind them. The ruling class is the spark, but the underclass is the fuel. strong middle class is the firewall. What's going on these days? So if you look at the psychological forces at work here that are being, the levers that are being manipulated, we're leaning into dangerous thought-terminating cliches, incitement of genocide, inchoate offense, that kind of stuff, eliminationism, that kind of stuff. Very, very dangerous. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. You know, you listen to Joe Biden, you listen to Corinne Jean-Pierre, you listen to Sam Harris, you listen to these people. There is, you know, this belies a pathological nature. It reminds me of Martin Short's character, Nathan Thurm. Remember Nathan Thurm? I didn't say that. Why would I say that? You said that. I didn't say that. Listening to Sam Harris try to walk back his it was astonishing to listen to what Sam Harris said in that interview. We didn't actually play what he said. Jimmy Dore in the clip that we mentioned, but he says it, and then he uses the straw man, the logical fallacy, saying, you know, so he's talking about, he called it a left-wing conspiracy, and it was. Jimmy Dore even included reference to the Time Magazine article secret bipartisan campaign that saved the 2020 election. And he said, you know, Sam Harris called it a left-wing conspiracy. And then Sam says, well, I didn't call it a conspiracy. Well, yes, you did. But then he says, well, you know, if a meteor was hurtling to Earth and a bunch of guys got together and tried to prevent that from happening, I suppose I should say before that, it wasn't a secret. Remember all of the, you know, the stuff that was going on? I won't even get into that. We're almost out of time. Anyway, it wasn't a secret. Washington Post articles are not secrets, letting us know that things are, you know, we should watch for this and that this kind of thing would happen. Anyway, I think that's really just to foment more controversy. But Sam Harris says, well, what if there was a meteor hurtling to Earth and a bunch of people got together and tried to prevent it from creating, you know, mass extinction? Well, that's a straw man, Sam Harris, because you're talking about a criminal enterprise versus something that might be an existential threat from, you know, from beyond mankind. You're talking about a bunch of people getting together and trying to do something that is at minimum, absolute minimum, immoral, unethical, probably illegal. That's the definition of a conspiracy. Like you said, Sam Harris, you called it a left-wing conspiracy. You did do that. You did say that. But then to try to equate that with a meteor coming from space and people trying to prevent something catastrophic from happening, that's a logical fallacy, my friend. That's a straw man. So to try to deny these things belies a pathological nature. And the deeper concern is, just in simple terms, think about the 110,000 Japanese folks, Japanese Americans in 1942. There are folks who have said that there are undesirables. Look what happened through COVID, for example, how people were treated. The capacity is there. We've seen it. Referring to some, you know, I mean, the whole deplorables thing, you might not identify as someone who is, say, a Trump supporter or whatever, but does that mean that you would be, that nuance would be observed in a dragnet operation to, say, identify a bunch of people who support this or that? Are you following me here? History warns us against what's happening, and there are all of the earmarks of bad things shaping up on the winds, if you follow me. So I will continue this and we'll dive into some specifics, especially on the esoteric stuff and the psychological stuff. I'll continue this tomorrow. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.